Welcome to the Black Christian News Network One podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about this week. First, according to USA Today, after just a few hours of deliberation late Thursday night, a Cook County jury found a man guilty of first-degree murder of Tyshawn Lee, a 9-year-old boy who was shot and killed in one of Chicago's most horrific crimes. Jurors found Dwight Boone Dotty guilty of murder in the first degree for shooting the boy in the head after promising to buy him a treat. Boone Dotty led the boy into an alley and executed him in a gang hit that shocked the nation for its brutality. Boone and another man, Corey Morgan, were tried before separate juries. Morgan's jury was still deliberating as of Thursday night. Several members of the boy's family held hands as the court read the verdict. Upon hearing the verdict, they began crying. A third man involved in the murder, Kevin Edwards, has already pleaded guilty to first-degree murder in exchange for a 25-year prison sentence. Tyshawn Lee's life is over, way too short. Although his life is over, his story isn't, state's attorney Craig Engleford told the jury earlier in the day before closing arguments. It's an ending you get to write. It will never be a happy ending, but it can be a just one. Tyshawn was a fourth grader in November 2015 when he was killed by gang members to send a message to his father, an alleged member of a rival gang, prosecutors say. The killing was seen by many as underscoring the viciousness of warring factions in Chicago. Second, according to The Guardian, Bertram John, the father of Botham John, said on Thursday he wished his son's killer had received a stiffer sentence, but he also said he agreed with his surviving son, Brant, who, amid extraordinary scenes in court in Dallas on Wednesday, offered forgiveness to former police officer Amber Geiger. I felt the same way as Brant, Bertram John told CNN. I wish I could have extended that same courtesy. I don't want to see her rot in hell. I don't want to see her rot in prison. Geiger shot Botham John dead last September after entering his apartment, thinking she said it was hers on a lower floor, and he was a dangerous intruder. The 26-year-old accountant was sitting on his couch eating ice cream. Geiger, 31, was fired by Dallas police. Convicted of murder, she received a 10-year sentence. The maximum sentence available was 99 years, and prosecutors had asked for 28 years based on the age John would have attained had he been alive today. At the sentencing hearing on Wednesday, Brant John, 18, told Geiger, I forgive you. I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that's exactly what Botham would want you to do. He then asked permission to embrace Geiger and did so. Film of the moment went viral. The judge in the case, Tammy Kemp, also embraced Geiger and gave her her Bible. Asked on CNN what allowed him and his son to be so forgiving, Bertram John said, That's what Christ would want us to do. If you will not forgive, neither will your father forgive you. I don't want to see her rot in hell. I don't want to see her rot in prison. I hope this will help her to change and recognize the damage, the hurt that her family is going through. So I wish her well, and I will pray for her family and pray for her as well. Third, according to The Hollywood Reporter, Diane Carroll, the captivating and trailblazing singer and actress who came from the Bronx to win a Tony Award, receive an Oscar nomination, and make television history with her turns on Julia and Dynasty, died on Friday. She was 84. Carroll died at her home in Los Angeles after a long bout with cancer, her daughter, producer-journalist Suzanne Kay, told The Hollywood Reporter. Carroll was known as a Las Vegas and nightclub performer and for her performances on Broadway and in the Hollywood musicals Carmen Jones and Porgy and Bess, when she was approached by an NBC executive to star as Julia Baker, a widow nurse raising a young son on the comedy Julia. Hesitant to accept the role at first, Carroll became the first African-American female to star in a non-stereotypical role in her own primetime network series. Julia, which premiered in September 1968, finished number 7 in the ratings in the first of its 3 seasons, and Carol received an Emmy nomination and a Golden Globe for her work. Richard Rodgers then spotted her during one of her frequent singing appearances on Jack Parr's Tonight Show, and decided to compose a Broadway musical for her. After scrapping the idea to have her portray an Asian in 1958's Flower Drum Song, he wrote 1962's No Strings, a love story revolving around an African-American fashion model and a nebbish white novelist. His first effort following the death of longtime collaborator Oscar Hammerstein, the second, it brought Carol Rae for views and a Tony Award, the first given to a black woman for Best Actress in a Lead Role of a Musical. Carol was inducted into the Television Hall of Fame in 2011. Many in Hollywood paid tribute to Carol on Friday, with one of them being director Ava DuVernay, who remembered her as an icon. DuVernay tweeted photos of Carol writing, "One of the all-time greats, she blazed trails through dense forests and elegantly left diamonds along the path for the rest of us to follow. An extraordinary life. Thank you, Mrs. Carol." Fourth, according to WRAL, a man has been arrested and is facing charges in connection with the defacing of a monument that stood near a historic black church in Fayetteville, authorities said. Andrew Caldwell has been charged with ethnic intimidation for allegedly defacing a monument behind Evans Metropolitan AME Zion Church, located at 301 North Cool Spring Street. He was released after posting a $500 unsecured bond. He is expected to return to court on November 13th. It was not immediately clear why Caldwell targeted the church, which was built in 1893. The church was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1983. Fifth, according to the Daily Beast, Ukraine's chief prosecutor has announced a review of the closure of a previous legal case involving Burisma Holdings, the natural gas giant where Joe Biden's son served as a board member. The review falls short of the criminal investigation into Joe and Hunter Biden's dealings in the country that President Trump had demanded in his July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president. When asked Friday whether he had evidence of wrongdoing by Hunter Biden, Ukraine's General Prosecutor Ruslan Ryaboshapka said, "I have no such information." A written statement did not mention Burisma, the gas company where Hunter Biden works, by name, but at a press conference, Ryaboshapka was asked directly and said he would be reviewing the closure of the previous legal case involving it. Trump has, with no evidence, accused Joe Biden of acting to protect his son by urging the removal of Ukraine's former general prosecutor, who was looking into allegations of money laundering at Burisma. In a July phone call with President Volodymyr Zelensky, Trump threatened to withhold military aid to Ukraine unless the country investigated the Biden family's political and business dealings there. Top Ukraine officials previously told the Daily Beast that such a review was expected as part of the Zelensky administration's anti-corruption efforts. Sixth, according to CNS, the work week is ending with some good news for President Donald Trump as more records were smashed in Friday's report on September unemployment. For the 22nd time since Donald Trump took office, the number of employed Americans reached a record high last month, climbing 319,000 from August's record 157,878,000 to 158,269,000. At the same time, the number of unemployed Americans set a Trump-era low at 5,769,000. Those two strong numbers pushed the nation's unemployment rate to 3.5% in September, down 0.2 points from last month and the lowest rate since December 1969. President Trump hailed the good news on Twitter with a twist, of course. Breaking news, Trump wrote, unemployment rate at 3.5% drops to a 50-year low. Wow, America, let's impeach your president, even though he did nothing wrong. Seventh, according to the Associated Press, Larry Irving has become the first African American to be part of the elite ranks of notable individuals inducted into the Internet Hall of Fame. He joins internet luminaries such as Vint Cerf, Mark Andreessen, and Tim Berners-Lee, honored for their significant contributions to the advancement of the global internet. The Internet Hall of Fame is inducting Irving, who is widely credited for coining the term digital divide, for his impact on increasing internet access among unserved and underserved populations. The digital divide has been and continues to be referenced by virtually every governmental, corporate, philanthropic, and non-profit organization across the planet that is concerned about increasing access to the internet and improving user competence in navigating the web. You can read these stories and more at bcnn1.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thanks so much for listening, and may God bless your day.